Full screen mode. Okay, and put the little hand out of the picture. Yeah, that's good. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gidamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jayase Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, 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 Hare Hare Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Kind of difficult for me to see everybody and see this, so the title of the seminar was Five Simple Things to Increase Book Distribution. We changed the title to The Art of Empowerment to make it slightly more broad and attractive to the wide range of devotees that we have here in this community. Basically speaking, it is a workshop that we made for the ILS. It was our presentation at the ILS this spring in Mayapur. It was very well received. There was lively participation. And as a disclaimer, you can use this to increase any type of service. Whatever that you want to do for Krishna, we hope that this will help you to become more successful in your devotional endeavors. So even you might not be a book distributor or preacher, you can use some of these tools for your practice and for your preaching. Next, please. So the five components that we have defined are desire, vision, strategy, follow-up, and mood. Next. It all starts with desire. Next. Desire is a seed that grows and grows and grows and grows. The picture that you see here is Angkor Wat in Cambodia. I was there just a few months ago because I was intrigued. It's the biggest Vishnu temple on the planet, and it is took hundreds of years to build, so many generations of kings, but it's not operational. They're ruins. And why are they ruins? Because as you can see, the tree, time and tide waits for no man. There's a tree growing there on a temple, and a temple crumbles. So, desires are very powerful. They can change empires. They can make big, fabulous monuments disappear. And that gives great hope, because sometimes you look at all the monstrosities that are being built nowadays, and you think, wow. How awful, how much pain just to look at it. So you know, in a few decades, it will all be destroyed by the tooth of time. So that is very comforting. But at the same time, it's also a kind of a wake-up call, because you see that the things that we are building, they may also not sustain unless we actually preserve the spirit, we actually preserve the mood, the message, the purpose of the activity. So everything starts off from desire. And desire has a lot to do with my sense of identity, what I identify with, and my value structure. Just like now, if I ask, who here is a Sankirtan devotee? We got two. Who here is a Sankirtan devotee? Yes. Everybody, exactly. Because if you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise, who am I? What is my identification? What do I feel I ought to be doing? And then what naturally, what kind of desires am I cultivating that relate to my sense of identity? I was at UF today, and I gave the program there in the morning, and then we saw and we helped there a bit with the outreach and serve out and all that. And people have different types of identities, and that's why they cultivate different ranges of desires. So depending on who I think I am, I accept a certain set of values and a certain set of desires that go along with the package. So it helps to work on, okay, what is my sense of identity? Who am I and what am I doing here? So we're in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That means we chant Hare Krishna. And we try to help to spread the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Next. When Srila Prabhupada heard that devotees were teaching about book distribution, Buddhimanta and others, they went around, Prabhupada was very happy. And he encouraged it, he endorsed it. But he told them, don't just teach them techniques. Teach them how to be sincere. What does it mean to be sincere? Sincerus, it means without wax. The artisans used to cover up their flaws in workmanship with wax to cover the cracks and hide them. Now, how can you become sincere? How do you get rid of the wax? I have a lot of wax in my ears and in my eyes and in my system. How do I get that pretentiousness out of my system? Well, how do you get rid of wax? Any idea?
Fire.
Fire. Yeah. Very simple. You need fire. So Cheta Dharpana Marjanam, by the Sankirtan, by the fire of Sankirtan, all the wax, all the pretentiousness that's stuck in me will melt and it will just dissolve. Because whatever upadis, whatever designations I have accepted, all these masks will be torn off gradually, one by one. The facade comes off. And it might be a little bit like peeling an onion, you know. It's kind of a discovery, but at the same time, there's some crying involved. Because you're shedding some skin and there's some things that are not you, that you thought you were part of your identity, and they get discarded. So that's part of the process to become sincere. Next. There's sufficient merit in our books that if you simply describe them sincerely to anyone, they will buy. Tonight, this is not a sales workshop. What are the right things to say and the right buttons to press so that money will come jumping at you. It is more about how to refocus and really put the core of this movement in the right place, in our heart, on our value structure. So, you can tell people, we're coming from over here, we're going over there, and give me some money. And by the way, you know, take this, because everybody gets one. It works, and we have all done it so many times. That's not the point. The point is once they get home, and they look at the book, and they think, well, the guy told me, we're coming from over here, we're going over there, and everybody gets one, and, you know, here, take this. And not everybody may feel so comfortable. We ourselves may not feel so comfortable with that. You know, if you don't like doing something, you probably won't do it for a very long time. If you don't actually get to like an activity, you most likely won't do it for a very long time. How many of you are here ready to go out and, Prabhu, I'm going to suffer for Krishna now. I will suffer for Krishna some more. Okay, are you ready to suffer more for Krishna? I mean, there's a certain flavor to it, but I'm not encouraging, you know, to go down that street for too long. So, to actually speak on the merit of the books, to actually say things that are related to the books, to connect the books with the person, it means to make it relevant to the individual. Just like we mentioned on Sunday, to speak about issues that are related to the person, and they're also found in the books. So you make that bridge, you make that connection, and then it becomes very simple. People buy into the idea, and they want to have the books. And that's with everything. That's with prasadam, that's with harinam, that's with any type of outreach, to actually make that connection. So what is it today that people are most interested in? I usually ask students to make a list of buzzwords. You know what a buzzword is? Like you ring a buzzer, something that rings a bell. So what it is, what is it that you want to give people in one word or less? What is it, your message? Peace, peace. Peace is great. Inner peace. Inner peace. That sounds wonderful. I'm in. What do you want to give people?
Meaning of life.
Meaning of life. Yes. What else?
Feeling of satisfaction in the heart.
Feeling of satisfaction in the heart. I like that. What else? What are your buzzwords? So this is your homework for this week. Come up with your own list of buzzwords. Come up with your own list of what it is that you want to give to people, meaning the stuff that moves you, that gets you out of bed in the morning. What do you feel? This is my mantra. This is my credo. This will be my t-shirt or my tattoo, if you're into that, you know? What is it that you want to give people?
Selfless joy.
Selfless joy, yes. What else?
Love.
Love. Anything else?
Self-realization.
Self-realization. Self?
Enjoyment,
yes.
Happiness.
Inspiration. Goal of life. Whatever works for you, make a list. Because this is the stuff you're going to be working with. This is your toolbox. So when you go, you see all these tradespeople, you know, who are having their different occupations. They have their SUVs and what do you call them here? Their utility vehicles, like that. And they're carrying their toolboxes, right? And they got all the tools in their box. Because they know, I'm going to need it at some point. And even if not, it looks cool, okay? I got the gear. That's why you got to pay me $80 an hour. Because I got the looks and the moves. So this is your toolbox as a preacher. What is it that you want to give to people? Because that's what you portray. That's what you actually communicate. Verbally or non-verbally, spoken or unspoken, it doesn't matter. That's the message that you convey. So come up with your own list of buzzwords. Next. So the action points on desire is to choose the association. A person is known by the company they keep. Birds of the same feather flock together. The type of people that I associate with, whatever I appreciate, appreciates. These qualities will rub off on me. Every day I'm faced with so many choices. What kind of association I like to choose to engage in, because that will form my character. To water our bhakti lata daily by strict sadhana is a desire, something that's very much in the forefront, to rooting out the weeds. And for that, we need to check our roof and our heart. Hare Krishna. On a regular basis. Because in Mayapur, I helped to build a school, and we had a water damage on the fourth floor. And I knew there was no pipes up there, because it was the roof. And there's no water pipes on the roof. So I became a little puzzled. So I took the ladder and went all the way on the roof. And there was a 4-foot tree on the roof. And I wondered, how did that tree get up there? Anyone has an idea? How can it? Desire, yeah. Whose desire? A bird's desire. A bird ate a fruit, and it went up there, and it passed stool, and with the stool as a fertilizer, and the sun, and the water that fell, that tree grew and went right through the concrete through a 2-foot concrete, reinforced concrete ceiling, went through it, and 8 feet wide in each direction, it had roots. Was ready to bring the house down, like the picture you saw at Angkor Wat. I got frightened. I don't know how you feel about water damage, but I'm frightened. When I hear water damage, leaking roofs, I mean, the red lights go on. You know, it's like, woo, 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 woo. So it took a lot of trouble to get that jiva out of there and to patch it up. So to check my roof and my heart on a regular basis, what kind of desires am I cultivating? And what's growing in my bhakti garden? Because sometimes I might think this looks great, but it might just not be the type of specimen, the type of creature that will actually give me joy on the long run. So, that's for desires. Any questions on that? We're doing it in 5 little parts here. So desire, basically, everything boils down to desire. Anything in this world gets done because people want to do it. It's basically you want to do it and you figure out ways how to do it. And God helps those who help themselves. Yes, Prabhu. It depends.
If I'm convinced Krishna consciousness is the only thing I need, then I can think, yes, what kind of association I need.
I think that realization that you're addressing is a very high level, and most people are not on that level of realization. That comes later on, that Krishna consciousness is the only thing I need. Like right now, I could give you 12 things that I need, and they're not directly Krishna consciousness. You know, I need to fix this, I need to fix that, I need to fix the other thing. And there's a lot of stuff that I need to fix. Ultimately, I know Krishna consciousness will enable me to achieve all the objectives. But initially, I have to work with what I've got, with where I'm at. And I feel that meeting the people where they're at is the most useful tool in outreach. Otherwise, you'd really be losing your audience and you shoot way above their capacity, which happens a lot.
How do you answer Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita? There's few places I found Srila Prabhupada said, because people do not know the goal of life and that's why they are disturbed.
But a lot of people will say goal of life, you know, it's very high level and it's very philosophical. Right now, I'm looking for friendship, or I'm looking for happiness, or I'm looking for love or satisfaction or meaning. But this is very lofty. This is very high. We give classes on campus. You put titles, you know, are you searching for the goal of life? And you see how many people turn up. I mean, you see, you try it out. Any wild guesses? It'd be anywhere between 5 and 15 people. If you speak about a course on signs of self-realization, you know, karma, how to balance stress, be more successful in life, you probably get 50 to 70 or 80 people. If you talk about sustainability, about the ecology, the environment, and about other topical issues, you may get a couple of 100 people. You can tie it in with Krishna consciousness. That all depends on your expertise and your ability. It's just a poster, you know? It's just a t-shirt. Don't get hung up over it. It's just a point of entrance. What I'm saying is don't do what we do too often. We're in like a plow and out like a needle. Do you know that strategy? You go in like a plow, meaning like you go in there, guns blazing, and you come out like a little mouse, you know, me, 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 running for your life because people just couldn't cope with it. And a lot of times devotees are not that much different, you know, they're also people. So I found in my outreach, it's easier for me to try to meet people on the level they're at and then take them on a little journey and see how far they're ready to go with me, how long their patience lasts and how much faith they got. Then to start at the top and then work my way down. Then it's a downhill race. So I appreciate what you say. It's just a different methodology to get to the same goal. And I found for me that this works. Now I'm convinced that if somebody is very pure and empowered, they can just talk about, you know, God and pure love of God and the ultimate goal of life. And people will say, yeah, sure, great, you know, wonderful. But I might not be there yet. Yes. Ultimately, everybody's looking for Krishna. They're looking for beauty, they're looking for wealth, they're looking for fame, for strength, for knowledge. Even renunciation is attractive, because if somebody is truly renounced and he doesn't need anything, that's also attractive. That's admirable. So ultimately, everyone's looking for Krishna, but they call it something else. So in the initial phase, you may also call it something else, because it will be easier for them. Because if immediately you put Krishna there, it might not gel right in the first instant. Next. Whatever I had to say, I've already said in my books. Now you must all try to understand it and continue with your endeavors. I made this survey very often in different temples and congregations. Less than 10% of our members have all of Prabhupada's books. And less than 10% of my members have read all of Prabhupada's books. It's a bit scary, but it's roughly about the statistics. So what can we do to increase this? Because charity starts at home. How can we ensure that our own kind, our own devotees, actually have the books and are feeling the books are relevant? I actually spend time reading them. What are the blocks? What are the obstacles? And how can we overcome them? Is it money? Is it time? Is it relevance? What are the issues? How can we profess something that we're not even adhering to ourselves? Sounds kind of hypocritical, doesn't it? It's kind of self-defeating. I'm trying to go out there saving the world, but you know, the world starts right here. So might as well start from right here, where we are, right? Why can't people have the books in their homes? I mean, how much is a full set now? The books are so inexpensive. $300, $400, you can have all the books, right? I mean, that's less than an average smartphone. Just to put it in perspective. And I have made the same survey. You ask people who has a smartphone, everyone's hand goes up. You ask them who has two, about half the room's hand go up. Who has three, about, you know, 20% of the people say three, and some may have even more than that. But we don't have all of Prabhupada's books. Why? Because we don't feel they're relevant, or they're just, there's no space, or I don't know. I'm not getting it. So to think along the ways of how can we make it more accessible by study groups, by different ideas. You tell me, what are some of the ideas that you have to make Prabhupada's books more accessible and more attractive, even to our own devotees? Yes?
We have a study group of Bhagavatam every Saturday. And last 2 years, I should say, I personally bought 5 sets of Bhagavatam, full set, just to give some devotee could not afford or something. And then, but if the eagerness is implanted by the self-exemplary, if I love Bhagavatam, then automatically it has an effect. Then those devotee will be effective, and they will take.
Yeah.
Association of those who are interested in Bhagavatam is the best example I see.
Thank you. Any other ideas of what we can do to increase? Like you go to somebody's home, you're invited for prasadam, and you see all the Harry Potters, you see Encyclopedia Britannica, you see, you know, a wide range of collection of movies and CDs and whatnot. But you don't see the books. You feel like, should I eat here? Don't you feel something's weird? It's strange. It's like you go to a lawyer's office, and behind him on his bookshelf is Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, you know, the Daltons and whatnot. How'd you feel? You feel like you want to spend your time and your money talking to this person? Or do you feel like something is wrong here? So what else can we do? Finance the books. So people who are in our congregation, who are in our universe, you say, okay, we're making an installment system. You don't have the $400. What can you pay? Can you pay $10 a month? Something? We gave you the books now, you know? And a little bit more. I'm just saying, you break it up, okay? But they're part of your congregation. Yes. What else?
I find that buying the books is the easiest thing.
Yeah.
Reading them. The time to read them. I was just listening to a lecture and Prabhupada said, this was years and years ago, and Prabhupada said, we have a few books now. This was back in 72. And he said, we have a few books now. This is enough books to read for hundreds of years.
Wow. I think it has to do because people are very concerned about dust. You know, like you go to India to a rich man's home and his couch is still shrink-wrapped. Have you had that experience? And you're like, you know, you live in a $2 million home and you got nice furniture, but why is your furniture still shrink wrapped? I know it's easier to clean it, you know, I agree to that. It's easier to dust the books if they're shrink wrapped. It may preserve the life expectancy, but they're meant to be read. Yes.
A lot of times what I do is I read some verses, you know, from Bhagavad Gita or one of the books, something that will be relevant to the person, just to create some, you know, interest, because I actually develop an attraction when I hear others, you know, recite verses, they explain it and things like that. So I try to do that so that others can get the...
Wonderful, thank you. When I came to Zurich Temple in 84, I met Rohini Sudha Prabhu, Harinamananda, Jai Gurudev, and I knew I want to become like these guys. And I asked them, how do I do it? And they said, you read these books. So I took home the Gita, the first canto, a couple of books, and I started chanting four rounds. And I was 15 years old, so it was difficult. So I had many questions. They answered my questions. They said, you read out loud, after a while it will start to make sense. And I did that. And then the first thing that I wanted to have, because it was just part of what you do, is get the full set. It was just, it's just part of the culture. You need to have these books, all the books, not just the Gita, all the books, the set. So they thought, this kid doesn't have any money. So they brought me a second-hand set, you know, just pieced together from the library. But I had saved up money from working two jobs, one as a paper boy and one as a flower delivery guy for two florists. And I gave the devotee $500. In 84, that was a lot of money. It was like 2 or 3 years of savings. I gave him everything I had, and I got a secondhand set of books. I still feel I got changed up, you know, to this day. I feel a little grumpy about it. But still, honestly speaking, it's the best investment I've made in the last 30 years. The best investment, you know? So I'm not upset about that. A little bit upset that I got used books, but, you know, so be it. It was kind of...
I also spent $500 for books, but I got a first brand new set of books.
They're prasadam, yes. The devotees' mercy are there. Yes. We got two ladies here and then one person in the back. Yes, please.
I think part of what we're dealing with is this culture around the internet.
Mm.
And so people are very, very plugged in and unhappy. So if somehow we've lost a sense of family and caring.
Mm.
Because if we are really practicing this path of Krishna consciousness, and like Prana Govind Prabhu said, that we are convinced to the core there isn't anything else, and we're not taking advantage of these things, I think we need, as a society, to actively campaign against television, to say, look, we stand for these principles. Are we as devotees really going to say we're devotees and subtly engage our senses in all these other things and say that we're honest and really say that we're living this path that we've been given by Srila Prabhupada? Are we going to become honest with ourselves and with each other and hold out a helping hand and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you're suffering, this is your second or third marriage. Come on, let's come together as a family and start, like you said, practicing what we've been given and realize the treasure we have that we've walked away from.
Thank you. Is one lady in the back?
Hare Krishna. I have the big set of bhaktams and the small ones, and I found that I'm more inspired to read smaller ones. Just look at the big ones just made me feel like I'm never going to be able to finish it. And and also reading in a group, as you said, it's helped tremendously, reading in a small group and being able to share with the
devotees. Sure. Thank you. I have a question here. Mukhya, how long is this supposed to go today? What's the...
You can go if you want to until the last hour,
8:50. Okay, just so I know, because I don't want to rush, you know, people are... You had your hand up? Try shouting.
When you ask about what are the obstacles to getting people to read the books, even if they have them, you know, my own obstacle is just distracted by the internet. And what I did an experiment in the last 8 months. I cut off the internet in my apartment where I work, and I find now I'm reading Prabhupada's books at least an hour every day, and it's completely changed my life. I have nothing to do when I go home from work except read Prabhupada's books. So I feel that the obstacle is just losing the taste because we have all these distractions,
and
especially the internet. So I cut down my Facebook time and all kinds of stuff, and I find, oh, now I have the time. So I feel that's something I would share.
Thank you. Wonderful. Okay, we're moving on. Yes.
Now, at the beginning, we started saying about the fact of desire.
Yes.
If we do not have the desire to read the books, there is nothing that is going to make us to do that. So internet, I don't think is a good reason to blame. I mean, it's not a fact to blame. Oh, we have internet, we get distracted. If I don't have the desire in my heart...
It won't happen.
It won't happen. So we need to... I assume, is my point of view, that we need to get responsible.
Thank you.
One lecture, Srila Prabhupada said in 1968, that if you do just simple things, Srila Prabhupada says, when you wake up, pay obeisances, then cook something delicious to offer the Lord, and honor that prasadam, just five things. And then chant Hare Krishna
and read at least one page or some page of my books, you will be free from Maya. I literally said this in Trinidad just a couple of weeks back. And there was a three sets mm-hmm. books Agnide Prabhu sold. And so I'm saying here in Alachua, every parents, more or less I watch, for their children's birthday, they do spend money. Even they're poor, they spend money $50 to $100 for each children's birthday. If they can give some books of Srila Prabhupada, instead of just buying some Game Boy or toys, it would be really nice.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for your contributions. Next. So for me, to walk and reflect daily has become a regular practice. I saw Prabhupada went on his morning walk religiously, and it's been very good for me to process on my own, but also with friends and mentors, sometimes just chanting, sometimes talking, like here at Govardhan with Vaisheshika Prabhu. And sometimes we're just too busy to actually stop and think and process. And you get to a point where you can have like a system overload, where you just have too much stuff going on, but you're not capable of actually processing it and dealing with it. Kind of like you had a great feast, but somebody else offered you some Mahaprasadam just after that. Did it ever happen to you? And you got a system overload? It's quite possible. So this walking and reflecting has helped me. I know, I talked with Kalyapani Prabhu about getting off the grid, getting back to nature, and just push the reset button and go back to the factory setting. That's how I feel when I go in Sankirtan. But I also feel like that when I go walk in a forest and I just take in the prana. I also feel like that. Of course, it's a more spiritually enlivening experience when I do chanting or when I do Sankirtan, but both are very inspiring. So you have a lot of great surroundings here. Use them. I mean, just, I love being here just because I can walk to the cabin and, you know, back and forth. It's just nice. I know it's car country and everybody's got wheels and you're zooming around, and I went down to Gainesville today and back and all over the place and to the mall, but it's much nicer just to walk. It's much more human. It's much more civil. And it's also much healthier like that. So try to build it into your daily routine. I know many of you have office jobs or different occupations that require you to be put in one geographical location. I mean, how many farmers do we have here? How many people do we have here do physical labor and go out there and exert themselves on a daily basis? Practically none. So how do we get our exercise in? Do we go to the gym, or do we go to the spa once a month, or do we go, where do we go? How do we get our exercise? I get my exercise through Sankirtan. He looks pretty fit, you know. Divyanga Prabhu. If you actually keep up your metabolism, it keep up your momentum, it gives you a certain drive and a certain type of benefit for your entire life. Next. Vision. Next. The vision comes from Srila Prabhupada. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. He gave us the seven purposes. And I especially like the seventh one, that you can accomplish the aforementioned six simply by publishing and distributing literature. Because it's kind of like the all-in-one encapsulates. Because books is the basis, it's the foundation. Everything is built on the books, on our teachings of the Bhagavatam, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, whatever we do in this movement. So, this is a very good thing to remember, and I did this workshop because I'm using it also for new audiences, people who are not so familiar with what we do and why we do what we do, to explain to them why it is that we do outreach. Next. This is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world, and Krishna consciousness will automatically increase. You can bring down an entire empire simply through books. What was it? The American Revolution? What was that pamphlet? That fellow who was in prison and he smuggled out some literature or something that he wrote?
The power of the pen
is mightier than the sword. Yeah. But there was some fellow who was in jail and he wrote something and he got out and then it sparked.
Bacon.
I guess sparked a revolution. I'm not up on American history, but I heard the example many times. So books are very powerful, they're very potent. Prabhupada went to Russia in 71 and won Bhagavad Gita and Easy Journey to Other Planets got left behind. And it sparked a revolution. Now the books are legal in China. They got government publisher, university press. They published the Bhagavatam and the Gita. So they can officially sell them through the internet and through bookstores. It's not any more illegal to own Prabhupada's books in China. So something big is about to happen. And as we've seen in Russia, you know, you thought, oh yeah, Prabhupada went there. You look at the Lilamrita, it's 7 volumes. And how much is Moscow visit, you know? 2.5 pages. Not very eventful. Professor Katovsky, 2 young boys, and that's it. But then, of course, Prabhupada was there, and he said when he was up there in Moscow, looking out from Moscow State University, there will be thousands of devotees in this city alone. And there was no one at that point. Zero interest. But Prabhupada had the vision. Prabhupada came to America with a vision. So what is our vision? What is our vision in how it will work out, and what is my role in make it happen, in making it happen? What is my contribution to actually fulfill Prabhupada's dream, his vision of spreading Krishna consciousness all throughout the world? Next. I want you, all my students, shall vigorously try for this book distribution. So that was Prabhupada's request. In any capacity that we can take on this service by having books with us, by organizing book distribution, by preaching, by making movies, by managing, by organizing. Just think books. Put on your thinking hat. I mean, why America, even though it's not the biggest landmass and it's not the biggest population, but it's one of the biggest influences in the world. How? Because of the ingenuity, because of the brain power, because of the audacity. So let's use this for spreading Krishna consciousness. And right now, honestly speaking, we are not very visible and we're not very relevant in most parts of the world because we're not really on the landscape. People don't see us. I meet a lot of students, I meet a lot of young people wherever I go, and they just have never seen us or heard about us. It's something very new. Here in this area, because of the Ratha Yatras and because of the Krishna house and a few different activities, it's more known, but the other regions where people just don't know. So there's a lot of work to be done. Next. Simply by this attempt you get superior strength and knowledge about Krishna consciousness. I talked to Ridhananda Maharaj and he mentioned to me that when Prabhupada told him to go to South America, he felt like one of those superheroes who puts on their special magic suit And he went down there and just did things that nowadays he cannot believe that were possible. But it was possible because of the empowerment that he received from Prabhupada. So I'm sure you've all experienced in your own ways how impossible things became possible by the empowerment of the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is what really boosts our faith when we have this experience. Like I remember very clearly on my first day I went out and I sold 5 books. I went door to door. And one lady took 3 books and 2 other people took 1 book. And then Rohini Sudha Prabhu asked me, why didn't you give her a set? And I said, because I didn't have a set. So he said, tomorrow you go back and you give her the set. Because she took 3 books. So it means she's qualified. So next day, I went and knocked on the door and said, hello, it's me. She said, yeah, I know who you are. What do you want? You know, I met you yesterday. I said, I forgot that to the super nice people, we're actually showing them all the books. But yesterday I didn't have them. I'm really sorry. So I came back. So she said, okay, show them to me. So I put them on the kitchen table. And she bought the whole set. Why? Because I had faith. I had trust in the instructions of my leader. I had faith in his words. One time we were driving back from Sankirtan in Switzerland. And it was in the evening. It was already late. It was already dark. We passed a row. How do you call those row houses? It's like a long row of houses. What do you call it? With different entrances. Is it a row house in America?
Yeah.
A row house. So, and he said, stop, give me a Bhagavatam set. We stopped the car, he took the set, he went out, there was light in one place, he knocked on the door, the man came out, he talked to him for 10 minutes, and he came back without the set. So we asked him, did you know this fellow? Did you have an appointment? He said, no. He said, what happened? He said, I felt, I had the desire, I felt that this person needs a set of Bhagavatams. And we all drove home quietly. Nobody said anything. Just, if you have a strong desire, a burning desire to give people Krishna consciousness, Krishna reciprocates. He reciprocates. I'm sure you've all had your own personal experiences of that, where you felt, truly felt that this person needs this. And somehow that spark jumped over and it ignited something very powerful. I was in Rishikesh just a few weeks ago and there was a boy on the road and he wore a Jagannath t-shirt and I said, Jai Jagannath. And he was like, it's just a shirt, you know, like what are you so happy about? And I was like, this is, you know, the Lord of the universe. And he thought, I thought the Lord of the universe is Brahma. So we got to talk like that. And then it turns out it was a student from Canada who was on a sabbatical traveling all throughout India and Southeast Asia. And he took books and gave me 500 rupees and was super interested like that. But I was looking for that person to whom to give the book to, and then Jagannath was smiling at me and was saying, hey, I'm here, you know, I'm here. Just work with me, okay? Work with me here. Next. So last year, 2013, we did 8 million books in ISKCON. We crossed the 500 million mark, 502 million. And this is the biggest score since 95. This is pretty big. It's great, you know, only 78 was bigger. It's wonderful, it's going up, especially here in the US because of the combined effort of all of you. 20% increase for the last 3 years practically, consecutively. This is wonderful. This is fabulous, it's going in the right direction. Next. Now the Gideons, you might have heard of them. They did 80 million last year. That's 10 times as much as we did all over the world. And out of that, 10 million in the US alone. They're crossing 2 billion Bibles next year. They're in every country, in practically every language. And it's only 176,000 members, and they're all congregation. There is no clergy, there is no men of the cloth involved. It's all business people of the congregation who give a certain amount of their money for literature distribution. Now, formerly, the Gideons would only operate in the hotels and motels. Now, they're doing 60% to college students. So they were able to focus and to see what is the pulse and what is required to meet the public.
Don't you think they saw us doing it?
Of course they did. Of course they did. So, yeah, but that's part of the pulse. We are the pulse in some ways. Yeah, we created a momentum. Like I was on Oxford Street in London, and on the biggest square there, Oxford Circuit, you have six Jehovah's Witnesses with a book rack. Where do you think they got that from? Before, they were just standing on street corners with magazines. Now they got a book rack on Oxford Circuit, and they're starting to talk to people actively. Where did they get that from? The Harrys, who've been working Oxford Street since four decades. So if they're able to copy us, maybe we should also be able to learn a thing or two from other people. Yes, Prabhu.
So they're approaching people like we do, the students?
Yes, some of them who are a bit younger and a bit more outgoing, they're doing it, yes.
How else do they do it?
Many ways, many ways. I haven't studied all their methodologies, but they're actually... Another thing that they do is they work very much locally. They work in their neighborhoods, they go by the same places, they talk to people, and they do a lot of, you know, hearing people out and just spending time with them and befriending them. No, they don't sell them. All the Gideon Bibles are given free. They're all sponsored. I've seen one. I went to a car dealership, and the guy was a Gideon, and he had an entire table in his showroom. It was all cars everywhere, and then a really nice table in one of the best locations, and it had a big stack of books. And there was a sign, please help yourself. You know, God bless. And he gave a book to anybody who stepped into his showroom. And he was very clear and very straight up about it. But mostly what they do is they go to these venues and they distribute them for free. They place them for free. That's how they operate, because they have a certain member base which puts the money in. No, but there are only 176,000 members who are actually Gideons. There's 176,000 of them.
Distributors.
No, they're the ones who are financially contributing, and some of them go and do the placement.
Right, but I mean, who wants the Gideon Bible? Who would take one? Another Christian person would, right?
Yeah, or anybody who gets a Bible for free, or... a student who is in college who is looking for answers. Huh? People are taking. If you give them something nice, they're taking it. But you have to be there at the right place at the right time. That's already 50% of the success. And if you're a little bit enthusiastic, then that's the other half. You know that story of Charlie Chaplin, right? Prabhupada watching Charlie Chaplin movie on the airplane. Shyamasundar was his servant, and he went to sleep, and then he, because the movie was there, he thought it's Maya, and then he woke up and looked at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was crying because he was laughing so hard watching Charlie Chaplin. And Charlie Chaplin was once asked, what's the secret of your success? And he said, 50% of my success is I show up at the right place at the right time. And the other 50% is I'm enthusiastic at what I do. There's a devotee who went by his house in Vevey on the Lake of Geneva and gave a book to his wife. And then many years later, another devotee went by, and I think Jai Gurudev, and talked to her after he had passed away, and she said in his last months, he was sitting in a rocking chair by the lake in the garden, and he was reading Prabhupada's Gita, and it was his favorite book. So Prabhupada liked Charlie Chaplin, and Charlie Chaplin liked Prabhupada. So does that mean Charlie Chaplin movies are bona fide? Yadubar, you tell us. No, I think it means, you know, that they understood each other. They had appreciation for each other's talent like that. So if you have something good and you're, like Tamohar Prabhu made this point about confidence. It really boils a lot down to confidence. How can you be so confident? How can you be so sure that this is really what this person is going to need? I'm asking you, what makes you so confident, Divyanga Prabhu, that you're going out?
I know what it means to me. And I also know that reading breeds reading. And like if somebody says I'm afraid of the books, they're big, whatever. Baby steps. Open the book. Read one paragraph. I tell my kids this. I have teenage boys, and they don't read the books like most of the devotees that I know. And I say, just, you don't have to read. I mean, you know, 12 years ago, Vaish made me surrender to the CHAD program, do chapter a day, and that breeds it. Now I do 3-4 chapters a day of Gita because once you start,
you get the nectar
finally. And yeah. First 10 years in devotional service, I sold the books, and every time I went to read them, I would open up the book and fall asleep. And Vaish would say, wake up, read the book, stand, walk, breathe. But I didn't really have a taste for it, but I did it, and now I love to read. And I tell my friends, read. And if they don't read, I read to them. I find if I read out loud to them, then they listen. But you have to take baby steps. Don't be afraid because there's 80 volumes. But I was just listening last night. Prabhupada said, each verse of Bhagavatam we can talk on for 1 month. Wow. And then he turned to the devotees and he said, 18,000 slokas, 1 month. How long is that? But the thing is, you can't. I don't get scared because every single time I touch the book, Prabhupada reminds me what we're doing, and it's nectar. I couldn't go out there and do what I do if I didn't read these books. I can't believe some devotees can do anything. I mean, if you're going to dress the deities, or you're going to cook, or if you're going to build a goshal, or anything you're going to harinam, if you didn't read and get some sadhana by chanting and hearing, Shravanam Kirtanam is the most important thing. And many devotees just don't have time for that. I mean, I know many devotees that don't even have time to come over and look at the Lord in the morning. So you have to start somewhere. And I find that reading breeds reading. I read to my daughter every single day, even if it's just at night before she goes to bed. We've read the entire Gita, Nectar Devotion, Krishna book, and we're reading CC now. And she loves to hear every single night, Daddy, it's time to read. Boom, we stop whatever we're doing and we read. And I'm just, you know, anybody can read. And if you can't read, you can just push a button and listen. Prabhupada speaks. There's so many things you can listen to. I was just listening to his lectures today when I was cooking. You just push a button and there's Prabhupada walking down the beach in Venice telling everybody Krishna.
How it is, yeah. Thank you.
I don't know how anybody gets out of bed in the morning without it.
Well, you'd be surprised, you know. There's a lot of people who just get by. Somehow. Just get by. And we have done it. And we know what it feels like. But survival mode is just not good enough if you know what the other option is.
It's no fun either.
It's no fun, though. Yeah, so campaigning, setting positive examples. I mean, you see the people who are blissful, the people who are juiced up, the people who are connected, who are getting things done. The people who read Prabhupada's books. So go on a campaign, on a personal campaign, starting with your own self. And then we have made many converts to the chat, to the chapter a day, you know, club of reading a chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Just see what it does to you. You chant one chapter of Gita shlokas a day. The Gita, 18 chapters. So in a month, you practically go through the Gita twice. After a while, it starts to make sense. You actually get an idea what Krishna is talking about in sequence. Because honestly speaking, the first few years, I didn't get it. It was great, but I just didn't get it. It's like Swiss geography. Even though it's a small place, it's 3 or 4 hours each way by car. But because I was always not in the front, I was always on the back, you know, lying down. And when I asked, where are we going today? The Sankirtan leader's answer was, wrong question. It's a wrong question. You just get dropped off and we'll pick you up at 7 o'clock at night. So I went up to people. I didn't know in which town I was. And it didn't matter. Because it was the same anyway. Here is a book like that. I was ecstatically oblivious of many things in life. But then after a while, you know, you get your driving license and you start to drive, and you know, east, west, north, south, and it starts to make sense. And the same thing like what you mentioned. You start to fall asleep, and then you wake up and you get busy, 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 and then you start to fall asleep again. They stuck me out on the balcony in the winter, in the snow, to chant, because I was falling asleep, because it was too warm inside and prasadam was too good. And we worked hard, hard hours. But I've seen over the years that the devotees who are around now are the devotees who read the books. And those who left, well, for a bigger part, are people who just couldn't connect with getting into the nectar. I like this little card that Vaisheshika Prabhu made, where it's a chart, where it shows that if you read one shloka a day, the Gita will take you this long to read. I mean, it's 700 shlokas, less than 2 years. The Bhagavatam, 18,000 shlokas, how many years is that? Any math wizards here? 18,000 into 365? We have our...
It's a lot.
It's a lot. It's like 50 or 60 years. Got a grudge? 49 years. Okay, in less than 50 years, you can read the Bhagavatam. So most of you can still do it. I mean, not all, but most can still do it if you start with one verse a day like that. It's doable. I mean, in Bhakti Vaibhav class in Mayapur, we dealt with one chapter a day. But that's discussion and all of that, not just reading, discussion and study. If you do personal reading and you put in, actually we come to, when you read 2 hours a day, you can read all of Prabhupada's books in 2 years. You read 1 hour a day, it'll take you 4 years. It's doable. 1 hour out of 24. It's quite possible. Good association, good examples, and somehow getting started. Next. So how to do this? How to get from 8 million to 80 million? The solution is here, a lot of people, next, each doing a little bit. We have a lot of people who are considering themselves as members of the Hare Krishna movement, who are devotees. If every member does, like a book a day keeps Maya away. That's a book a day, that's 7 a week, it's 30 books a month. Either you go out, you distribute them yourself, or you sponsor them. 30 books a month. You can choose any type of book. 30 books. How many members do we have in the Yalachu community? About 750 people who consider themselves part of the community. Yeah.
Little greater people than there's 3,000.
Yeah. So let's say roughly, let's be a little generous, we take 1,000. Huh?
That's generous.
That's generous, yeah. I'm a generous kind of a guy. Especially when it's not my money. Especially when it's not my money, I'm exceedingly generous. So, 1,000 people, 30 books, that's 30,000 books a month. Would you like to do 30,000 books a month here in Alachua?
That's children too.
Yeah, that's including everybody. 30,000 books. Distribute them yourself. Don't look over that side or that side. You know, look inside. Ask yourself, am I doing the 30 books? You know? I'm already here. I'm not going anywhere. So, where there's a will, there's a way. I know so many of you are always carrying books and giving books to people. And it's wonderful. So many books go out. You know, if it's a culture, I see this 80-year-old man who's a Jehovah's Witness next to the 7-Eleven, and he's with a cane, and he has to sit down every hour for 10 minutes. And I'm like, hey, if he can do this 10 hours a week or 20 hours a week, then what's my problem? To put in a little bit of effort. This is what Prabhupada wanted us to do. Now, if you want to do it through the internet, you want to do it through mail order, that's fine, that's great. You do festivals, you do bake sales, you go to other types of events. There is no limitations. But to do one's bit, to put in one's contribution, that'd be wonderful. The books are available. They're available. I just spoke to Chaitanya at Krishna House. And it's just what she thinks about and the way how she operates. And they're building their Sankirtan team and putting people in vans and out on the street like that. But if you have a community and it can happen at a community level, it's so much more sustainable and effective. Like going door to door. And I'm sure there's so many festivals in the area. And there is Orlando also, which is a whole hub, a whole universe in and of itself. 50 million people a year. I mean, it's insane. It's madness. And we all know the water holes, where they're going. So just put the people in the right places. Then the universities, the sponsored books. It's unlimited, practically speaking. Next. So this motelgita.org, it's a big project and it needs some help, some support. I don't know whether Florida has been covered. I mean, 50 million people, they have to stay somewhere. There must be a lot of hotels and motels here.
Most anywhere.
Yeah, most and anywhere.
Most anywhere.
So, Patels must be pretty popular down here. Patel Motel. Has anyone done it? There's a devotee doing it. Has it been done exceedingly? Or because it requires follow-up. It requires like upkeep because people take these books and you need to go back every year or two and restock. Keep the relationship going. Next. So the action points on vision, to get vision from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we're plugged into our GPS. We're plugged into the grid, the matrix, we're always online, but we're not really getting a clear signal from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. That's our GSS. That's our navigator. That's our polar star that keeps us safe. To choose our priorities, because a lot of times we have too many things that we want to do, and there's too many turf wars and friendly fire, things that distract us and that actually bugging us down. So I periodically go and see my oracles, my wise men who help me with realigning myself and choosing my priorities. It really helps me. So, and to broaden the mindset, because sometimes we can't see the forest for the tree. We get a little too narrow, a little too much of, you know, like the Indian movies, you remember? Zoom in, zoom out. Zoom in, zoom out, zoom in, zoom out. Does it sound familiar? It's like the way how they operate the camera usually, you know, the zoom in, zoom out. So we're too much on the detail and we can't really see the bigger picture. What's the context? We're focusing on the details, but we don't see the principles. We don't see the, where is the whole thing actually going? What are we trying to achieve here? Next. Any other points on vision? Okay, we're moving on. By printing books, we can actually inject the movement into the masses of people all over the world. Communism didn't spread by exporting communists to different countries of the world, but it spread through literature distribution in very massive ways in India and in other parts of the world. And it's an ideology, it's a belief. It's simply a way of belief that has spread and that has taken root by massive distribution of literature. Just like, for instance, now we have all these different languages. We have books in Farsi, we got books in Arabic, we got books in all these languages. And you know what? Their second generation, their sons, are coming to this country to study. Why? Because they want to go to America and study the American way of life and learn the American language. So, if we're there and we're having the books and we're putting in the effort, we can give them the Farsi books, the Arabic books, the other language books, and then they'll take the poison back to the hive. And some people will get affected. But while they're here, they're open. There's an opening. If you'd go to their home country, very difficult. Very hard to get through to people. But when they're at university, they're in this exploring stage of life where they try anything that comes their way. So this is a little infomercial about to do books in different languages. I know a person who speaks one language is an American, and that's okay. But there are people of other languages who come here and visit here. So if you can make it a point to have those languages, it would be really great. And I'm not just talking the other language, Spanish. I'm talking about having the major other languages. I was in Tokyo, Japan, giving a Sunday feast class a couple of months ago, and there was a gentleman from Bengal. And I talked to him in Bengali, and I happened to have a Bengali Bhagavad Gita. And he gave me Goman Yen. He gave me $100 for that Gita. He was so touched that I had the Gita in his language. He was speechless. He thought, this is impossible, that you have the Gita in my language. It doesn't take that much effort. It's doable. I know we have them in the bookstore, in the BBT, in the book table. So to make a little effort to have those books. And people are so happy just to get a book in their language. They'll buy it just because it's their language. I meet French people all the time, and they're very, very, very attached to their language. And they're usually not that good at English. So just because they can speak French with me, it just makes them... They feel so endeared that they take the book. I know formerly devotees used to learn lines in all these different languages. We also have these cards, the mantra, in different languages, just to be able to distribute the books. Next. So the goose that lays the golden eggs. Everybody wants the gold, but who is ready to feed the goose? Next. Just like Prabhupada wrote this famous letter that we have to take the books from the BBT, otherwise we'll undermine his publishing and his desire that he had in setting up the BBT. I know there's people who take books from different places, and there's people who are printing themselves, or, you know, bootleggers in many different parts of the world, or people are printing their own little magazines, calendars, brochures, CDs, and it's bypassing the plan that Prabhupada had, and thus it's not really connected, it's not really ideal. So, of course, we're not good at legislation and at policing and enforcing. It's just humbly asking the devotees, please try to stick to the safe path and take the books from the BBT, and in this way also support Mayapur and the projects and the product development that the BBT is actually funding. And now things are at a pretty good state. I mean, the books are in print here in the US. I mean, there's no lack of books. I go to other parts of the world and it's a problem. but you have been blessed in a consistent way with good quality and decent priced books. So we're very fortunate. Let's keep that up and keep that in mind. Yeah.
It's not just fanaticism or talk, it's what Prabhupada's heart there.
Yeah. And he can predict the future because he saw the signs. And it was just a few people in a few places starting to do their own little thing. And Prabhupada nipped it in the bud. He saw the tendency and he saw that the effect that it can cause to the BBT. It's something about educating people and kind of inoculating them with this message, especially when they start up fresh in Krishna consciousness. Once people are past a certain age and a certain years in Krishna consciousness, they kind of become a little more selective in their cognitive functions. So I feel that this needs to be passed on with the mother's milk. It needs to come on an earlier stage. Next. If you simply push on this one activity of distributing my books, your all success will be there. I've hatched this transcendental plot for getting money by selling my books. And if we stick only to this plan and use our brain for selling books, there will easily be enough money. Wherever Madhava is worshipped, Radharani is there. There's no lack of Lakshmi, of opulence. And we have seen in the temples where Sankirtan is going on, there is no lack of opulence. And when that principle is being neglected or diminished, then things become very shaky and struggle for existence. Next. Action points in vision to think with your own head. I know it sounds kind of mundane and banal, but a lot of times it's much easier to just let other people do the thinking and I just follow orders. But at one point in time, we have to take what you mentioned, take responsibility, and somebody put it very succinctly, and actually think with our own head. Plan diligently, careful recruiting, regular training, assess and improve daily, and to keep our ears and eyes open. Next. Follow up. Next. So, we're number one in first contact. We're everywhere in the possible and impossible places. It's just one example. If you happen to meet a person from the Philippines, just tell them one thing. We're missionaries. Can you please give a donation and help us? We're spreading love of God. You go to church, right? You can stand on the highway and flag down cars. I have done it in the center of Manila. Rush hour traffic. You can stop cars. And there's a businessman in a suit. And you just tell them, we're missionaries. We're spreading love of God. Can you please give a donation? And 9 out of 10 will say, yeah, sure, of course. And they will give you something. They may not give you much, but they'll give you something. Why? Because they're more pious. It might not work, you know, on the highway here, on the interstate. You might get run over. But I'm just saying, we're very good at first contact, but how good are we at harvesting the fruits? So when you plan your outreach, plan your follow-up. Please always carry a paper and a pen when you go out. And take people's names and emails and mobile and cultivate them. Before you turn them over to the pool of information, make sure you establish your rapport. How many of you are doing cultivation? That you take contacts and you follow up with people? It's about 3.5. Please. I'm asking you, please. I know it's a bit of work. Not with every person. What does that mean? You carry a paper and a pen. When you have that young student who is like, wow, You know, I'm a philosophy major. Wow, I've been looking for this. I'm interested. You know, it's like you can spot. You know, okay, this guy has got potential. I'm getting to. Got potential to become a devotee. He's really interested. He's serious about this. Or he, you know, you feel this person is serious. You take their name, their mobile number, and their email. After 3 to 5 days, I shoot them a standard email. Hey, Joe, it was really great meeting you at the Orlando airport. You know, thanks for your time. I hope you enjoy the book. If there's anything that I can do to help you on your spiritual journey, please do let me know. With, you know, with appreciation, Navina, the Swiss monk. 90% of the people write me back. I don't write them a whole big thing, you know, with 1,000 of web pages and buy this and do that and the other thing. Just like, it was nice meeting you and I would like to hear from you. 90% write back to me. Pardon me? Follow up. That's the first step. That's the first step of follow-up. I mean, the first thing is that you see the opportunities and you carry the paper and the pen. Then you actually write to them and then you respond. And then usually I wait a little bit and then I write back to them and I say, you know, I'm traveling all the time, but I got this friend here in Alachua. He's taking care of people. They've got these cool programs on meditation and festivals. And I put you in touch with him. And I pass the contact usually on to the local person. But some people, they start telling you their life story. They start opening up, you know. They start really getting into it. And they start reading the book. And then you can actually make very much, you know, like inroads like that. You had a point. This microphone is not working anymore. Is the battery gone? Is dead. Or the mic is dead.
Yeah.
No, nothing. Zero.
I can just talk really loud.
Please. Wonderful, thank you. Please make it available to everybody. But one thing that has really helped me is I asked the people, please read it, you know. And I would like, next time we're going to meet, I want to know how you like it. You know, you just make a little personal request to them. Not just because you bought it or you gave something, but please read it. And it does make a difference. And when you pray and you actually want the person to become a devotee, like, I remember, we went to Pushkar about 3 years back with a team of 9 or 10 devotees during the camel fair. And we did Harinam there for a week and distributed books massively. And then you leave and you don't hear anything about it. And just now I was at the manor a couple of weeks back and it was a German boy in the Bhakta program. And I asked him, where did you come from? He said, I was in Pushkar a year ago. And a hotel owner gave me this easy journey to other planets. Thank you. So you see the fruits later on, you know, they pop up like that. And if you have that faith, it's wonderful, but it's still good to see what's happening and to connect it more. Like, this place has so much potential. But how many people come here? How can we enhance? I mean, we have, everything's here. How can we get more people to come and visit here?
We get all the new people at Krishna House.
Yeah. But this place has got what a lot of people are looking for.
It's so beautiful here. We should have a lot of new people.
Yeah. So to have like a flyer or something or a card, an attractive invitation card. Yes, Mukhya.
But if they come and nobody talks to them,
yeah,
which will happen unless an exchange.
Yes.
It's useless.
It's useless. So we need a...
Useless because they feel bad.
Yeah.
And I see it every week.
Yeah. A welcome center. Yeah, so a welcome center.
We have that, but people don't know what to do. They don't know if to turn right or left when they get here. And I have a very hard time finding devotees who are willing to give their Sunday afternoon, like 2 hours or even less, to just meet the new people and talk to them and show them what we do and take a shot with them. I'm telling you, there's two old women who do it, and that's it.
I believe you. You know what I would do? Yesterday we went to Blue Springs, and as we pulled in, there was a little hut with a bar, you know, Schlagbaum, with a barrier, you know. And the car rolled up, and a guy came out of his little house, and he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that'll be $50. And I said, no way, you're not getting $50, not with this attitude, you know. We going over to room, whatever it's called, you know, to the free place, you know. I'm not giving you $50 because your attitude is lousy, you know. I mean, you're the front guy, you're the greeter, you know, and you just stick your hand in my face and say $50. But, you know, you roll in here and you actually see a friendly face who says, Hare Krishna, thanks for coming. And it doesn't mean that it has to be there 24/7, but in the times that we know that people do come, and that person could also do other things at the same time in that little, you know, cubicle. So that might be an idea of putting something out there. Just as an idea, I'm not saying...
Why do people have to want to do it?
Yeah.
If the devotee's sitting here, at least they're motivated to be here to speak to you.
Yeah. Okay, who is ready to meet people on Sunday? Show of hands. Okay. Everything can and will be used against you, but ultimately it's for your own benefit, okay? So.
As long as it's not on the paper.
Yeah, as long as it's not written and signed with blood. I mean, you see so many people, they come, they walk into a temple, they walk out the other door, and you ask them, you know, and they didn't talk to anybody. So you feel like the bullet went straight through, but there was no, you know, there's no effect. It's just, it's sad. Yeah, it just went, it passed them right by. Absolutely.
So that's very rare.
Yeah.
Very special.
It's unique. And by doing this outreach, more people will show up here. And more people will actually come.
They can get money to come.
Yeah.
I'm worried about when they get here, everyone's talking to each other and nobody is even saying hello to anybody.
Well, a little workshop on hospitality. You know, I used to distribute books in the industries, and I used to go company to company and business to business and hotel to hotel and restaurant to restaurant, and there's a thing or two to be learned from how you meet and greet guests. And that's what Prabhupada did when he went to Butler, Pennsylvania, and he went to that event to see that dance, to see how, what is the hospitality, what is the culture, what are the interactions like that, because it's different from what he was used to in Vrindavan. So to have a little workshop, I have a friend in Germany, he's a trainer for one of the biggest customer care companies who deals with the automobile industry. So all the grief comes to that call center. People say, you know, I bought this BMW for $140,000 and now it's dead on the side of the road, and I'm with my three kids and my wife and they're going crazy on me, and the car that I bought last week had just died. So what do I do now? And he trains the people who get those phone calls. You know, you call the number and what you get. If you want this, press that. If you want that, press that. If you want that, press that. And if you want a live person, wait for the next Kali Yuga, because it's not going to happen. Welcome to the land of automated impersonalism. I refuse to talk to a computer or to a voice message. If you have a mobile phone, I expect you to answer it, unless you're a brain surgeon on duty. To have one line with one person who actually answers the phone, it makes such a difference in the world, doesn't it? How do you feel? I mean, it's not rocket science, right? It has been done before. You have one line, it can be diverted to different people's mobiles, but somebody has phone duty and actually knows how to take a message. Because people will call and they will want to know, what is it that you're offering? I'm interested. I met this monk, I met this lady, I met this thing at the farmer market. I saw you guys, I want to know. They will actually call. Now I know we've done anything we could to keep people away and still they're coming back. I mean, we've been trying hard, isn't it? So, but we could do better. That's all I'm saying. We could do better. Just like a farmer who's only planting but he's not harvesting. He's not only poor, but he's kind of stupid. You know, he's an idiot. Somebody else comes and takes the crops. The stuff is rotting on his field. Why? Oh, I don't have the time to harvest, Prabhu. I'm busy planting seeds. Have you heard that before? I'm a book distributor. I don't do follow-up. There is no points. I don't get anything out of it. Well, I don't care what you get out of it, but you know, it's not sustainable. Next. Yes.
Other day, for some time back, when I looked at this plan and example, I wanted to ask you, like, if you want to contribute since I'm volunteering to help us. What she did, she made a number.
We got 7 minutes to close up.
There was a few customers.
Yes. Yes, that's the way how to do it.
And she took the plate and then she said, thank you for coming. Would you like to add something more or this is enough?
Great, thank you. So we need a welcoming team of people who know how to take care of guests and how to follow up. And Sunday is the main day when people do show up and we should be available. Not just to do our own thing, okay, we bang out the kirtan, we blow off the roof. We go over there, we have the feast, and we feel great and self-righteous about ourselves, and we go home. We're the good guys, you know, and and that's it. I know that feeling, you know? I'm part of that club, but we can do better than that. We can do better than that. Mayapur, this is Mayapur for me. People are not insecure because there's 3 harvests every year. Can you imagine? 3 harvests of rice every year. It's so fertile. The ground is so fertile. They're getting 3 crops in a year. That's pretty spectacular. So I'm sure we can get a lot of crops in here if we just plant it right. If we just plant it right and we give a little help and a little training. Next. 5 steps of follow-up, setting goals, defining our offers, planning the stages. First stage is get the contact information, assigning roles and arrange resources, and implement and measure our success. These are the plans for follow-up. I'm going to give this PowerPoint to Mukhya, and I'll make it available on the website so each and everyone can get it. It's a lot of text. Don't write it down or try to memorize everything. Next. It's teamwork. See the need and do it. Next. And the mood. Attitude is everything. To leave everybody with a good impression. Next. To be careful not to kill the spirit of enthusiastic service, which is individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. Next. Always better service. We're in the service industry. Next. Next. We're Krishna's instrument, remaining humble, hungry, go out for self-purification. Next. I like that one in the airlines. Save one soul at a time. Begin with yourself. You know? We're not trying to save the world. Just start with yourself. And then with the person next to you. Offering kind words, expressing sincere gratitude. Preaching means giving. Don't be condescending. Express empathy. Practice reflecting and listening. And make people feel special because they are. These are all different ways how to leave a good impression. Next. Pardon me? No, it's a little dog and a little puppy deer. Become an ambassador of goodwill. Next. Selfless service. Whether it be cutting the potatoes or greeting the people out on the parking lot or doing whatever it takes doing, making sure that our single bathroom is in a functional condition. It's selfless service, but it makes a huge difference. Next. Imbibe prophet's mood, invest in people, create good impression, cultivate service attitude. Everyone counts. And ultimately, Krishna is the doer and the enjoyer. Next. And here are the five little takeaways if you want to just increase your book distribution. Always carry books, set up book tables, place smart boxes, distribute full sets, and each one teach one. These are the five little things that everybody can somehow keep in mind to make a big difference. Next. There are resources on the web. I'm sure you're all aware of them. ISKCON Desire Tree, distributebooks.com. Next. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. We have 2 minutes. Last comments. He's first, and then you. Yes.
When was the meaning of that number 3? Sets of books. Place smart boxes. What's the meaning of that?
Smart boxes. You know what a smart box is? It's boxes like this. That's a smart box over there. Now, this is a very elaborate and ornate and very beautiful one out of wood, but there also exists in plexiglass, you know, in plastic, a little donation box and a stand of books, and you can place it in an Indian store, in a yoga school, in a restaurant, and the books have stickers on them. It's an honor system, so they pick up a book and put in the money. It works. They're out there, and they're doing a lot of distribution. Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Where was that?
In Puri.
Oh, in Puri. In Puri, I always carry English, Oriya, and Bengali. Because those are the main three languages. Yeah, I'm hopeless. I'm terminal, I have to admit. Because it's hard to change your nature, you know. Thank you very much. You've been a very patient audience. Srila Prabhupada ki. Harinam Sankirtan Yajna ki. Chancellor Book Distribution ki. Iskanu Raman Reti ki. Gaur Premanande. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Jai.